So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
Okay.
I hit record too.
We did it.
All right. We did it. Okay. Welcome to Feature Creep, colon, built-in microwave, semicolon.
You already said my part. the hockey stick graph of global temperature and the Atlantic Ocean current, whatever it's called, stopping dead in its tracks and freezing everybody in England and thereabouts in Europe.
And we're all going to die.
And we're all going to die and nobody's going to have any food. And the Amazon rainforest is going to die and Africa is going to become a dust bowl and everyone's going to starve.
Okay, but before all that, welcome to our podcast. I'm Ned. This is
yes.
Meg. Our podcast is, as we said, if you have comments or want to email us, you can email Dana, the CEO and founder. That's dana@fcbm.io.
And this is one of a series of tiny little episodes called Little Gems for the People. And that's you.
Yeah. That's you. The idea is we're going to use these to kind of backfill our catalog because we'd like to have consistency of releasing an episode every Monday. And we have some holes in the past where we fucked up. And so these are going to get shoved in there, which means if you're listening to this, you probably didn't get a notification because that's the way it's some. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Long story short.
You may not want to know about this anyway. So you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're welcome. There is this. We're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about global temperature really quick, and then we're going to talk about the Atlantic current change.
Yeah.
So there's a graph called the hockey stick graph for global temperatures. There's a Wikipedia article about it. So if you Google, if you get on the Googler and you type in the hockey stick graph and maybe type in Wikipedia, you'll pull it right up. And basically, this is a graph that there's different kind of versions of it, but essentially it shows the average global temperature anomalies over the last 1,000 years. So from like 1000 AD to 2000 AD.
Yeah.
And it shows this sort of temperature change trend that's like pretty stable. Like it, there's fluctuations throughout a year and there's some deviations around the globe depending on certain like localized climate activity. But for the most part, not a big deal until you get to right about 1900, well, basically you get to the Industrial Revolution, and then it just shoots the fuck up. And so we're talking about the graph, the scale of the graph is the one that I'm looking at on Wikipedia is basically there's a zero temperature center line. It's not zero. It's not the temperature. It's the temperature deviation from the norm.
Yes.
Right. And so the average global temperature deviation is pretty much kept within about maybe like negative 0.5 degrees Celsius to about positive 0.2 degrees Celsius or something like that. And it's sort of like going along, and then we get to the Industrial Revolution right in the 1900s, and boom, it takes off, and now it's shooting up, and the deviation is only positive, and it's only like about 0.5, almost 1 degree C. And I don't know that we have the time to go into why 1 degree C average global temperature change is so devastating.
Yeah.
So we don't really need to. Like,
it's everything is interdependent. And so when you're talking about like even a small fluctuation in the temperature upwards, that has a ripple effect that like amplifies and magnifies. And it's like a bad thing for all living things.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a better version, or I think a more interesting version of the hockey stick graph, which I also sent you, Meg. And this is the XKCD website. And so the author, I believe, is like Randall. God, I'm maybe butchering this.
I can never remember his last name.
Yeah. But anyway, you can access it directly on his website. So it's xkcd.com/1732. This is comic number 1732. And it's the Earth temperature timeline. And the reason it's so great is it puts the timeline on the vertical. So it starts at about 2000 BCE and it scrolls all the way down to modern times. And so it gives you, I think, a better sense of scale and also understanding of how much, because people talk about, they're like, yeah, well, the temperature's changed before. Mm-hmm. And this shows how, I think this puts those things in perspective. Yeah. So if you're looking at this graph and you start at 2000 BCE, it talks about the average temperature being about 4.3 degrees
colder
in degrees Celsius mm-hmm. than our more modern era temperatures. Yep. And so it's sort of, you know, 22,000 years ago, it talks about like it's his graphs are always delightful because it has these little miniature comics and little notes on them about like things that were happening at that period of time. You know, as you scroll down, you see when you get to about 15,000 BCE, you start to see that there's this sort of gradual increase in average temperature. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around when the woolly rhino goes extinct, it starts to kind of curve up, one might argue, pretty quickly. Yeah. Like it's, you know, the difference between in 1,000 years, it increases almost 1 degree C. Then at some point at about 12,000 BCE, ice sheets withdraw from Chicago, where Chicago mm-hmm. would be. Obviously, Chicago did not exist right. then. And then it starts to, right around about 11,000 BCE, it starts to decline again. And so it's just kind of hovering mm-hmm. in this sort of pretty steady kind of like, you know, 1,000-year wobble. When we get around 8,000 BCE, it's now kind of come to the crossover point where it's increased to a slightly warmer temperature, mm-hmm. But it's also leveling out to the sort of 1961. It's slightly above the 1960s average temperature. But again, looking at this graph, as you scroll through thousands of years, you see these deviations as pretty gradual, relatively yes. speaking, like between 6,000 BCE and 5,000 BCE, there's very little change. There's moments where it starts to change a little bit. Stonehenge was built in 2,500 BCE, roughly, right in the middle or right around 2,000 BCE. Yep. Chariots were developed. This is, again, like a pretty, you know, steady temperature. It's not swinging a lot. Yep. Now you get to about 1,000 current era CE or AD, depending on how you reference it. And so right around there, we've kind of pegged that as our normal average temperature. So that's kind of the zero deviation. And then it kind of declines a little bit, cools like, you know, barely cools off a little bit between 1000 BCE and about 1500. And then we get to 1900, airplanes, world wars, nuclear weapons, internet. So between 1900 and 2000, mm-hmm. the average temperature changed by a whole degree.
That's a lot.
And by 2016, which is, I think, the final data on this, it's increased to a plus 1 degree Celsius. Yep. And you can see, like, it becomes so obvious how radically we've changed the environment. Yes. Like, the thing isn't that, yes, the temperatures have changed before. We have fossil records that, you know, just tell us this information. Mm-hmm. It's just that when you look at it like this, you see that it's like, no. This isn't that. This isn't that, oh, you know, the global temperatures are swinging again and the great forces that are beyond our control are somehow, you know, influencing things and this is the natural order of things. No. This is
oh shit.
Clearly, this is oh shit. Something happened.
This is like,
who knows what it could be, but definitely in the last 100 years, the fucking temperature is shooting up. Shooting. Like fucking, you know, jet plane going as fast as it possibly can. This isn't like, you know, oh, like it's getting a little warmer. And it seems like you're like 1 degree C, like what's the big deal? Yeah, but like in two generations, if it keeps on this trend, it's like going to be 5 degrees C.
Right.
Think about
that. Yeah, it's impossible to survive. Everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
And if the heat doesn't kill you, the fact that everybody in the Northern Hemisphere is clamping down on their borders when, like, billions of people are going to have to flee on foot to, like, a different place than the place that they're already in. It's like, oh, well, if the heat doesn't get you, the geopolitics will.
Right? So, like, 70 degrees Fahrenheit is 21 degrees Celsius. 25 degrees Celsius is 77 degrees. And then if you go to 30 degrees Celsius, it's 86. Now imagine, like, you know, but imagine you live somewhere hot.
Well, there's going to be, like, whole regions of the planet that are just uninhabitable.
Yeah.
And that means the whole food web's going to collapse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty grim.
Okay. Speaking of doom and gloom, the other thing we promised, which was the
current. Oh, yeah. So the Atlantic Ocean current is essentially like, if you imagine the whole Atlantic Ocean is a bathtub and it's a warm bathtub, but you're pouring cold water into it. The cold water settles at the bottom and then it like moves along the bottom. So the Greenland ice sheet is dumping cold water into the top of the bathtub, the one end of the bathtub. And then as that sinks down to the bottom of the seafloor, it starts moving back towards the equator where it picks up heat, and then all of that hot, salty water rises to the top of the ocean and floats toward Europe. And then that's why the Mediterranean has fucking palm trees in it. And that's why stuff from the Amazon makes it to the east, to the western shore of Africa, and why, like, dirt from the Amazon lands on the continent of Africa and makes soil that stuff can grow in, and then all that growing stuff feeds people, and like all that whole like process of water circulating from like the Caribbean near the equator over towards Northern Europe and the Mediterranean means that people in Africa and people in India can eat because that stuff all impacts them down the road. And because everything's heating up so much, the Greenland ice sheet is dumping more and more fresh water into the Atlantic, which is essentially throwing off the balance of the churning of the cycle. So the hot, salty water and the cold fresh water sort of like rotate. They like spin around each other, and it creates this like spinning current that replenishes itself over and over again. But with too much cold water and with not enough salt, the whole thing shuts down. It ceases to circulate. And what that means is that the normal process of like rain in the rainforest will get all screwed up. The conveyor belt that delivers warm water up to Europe will cease to function and will no longer deliver those currents that keep everything warm, which means that the rains to the east of the Caribbean, including Africa and India, will be impacted and will possibly cease, so that they can't grow food anymore because there's no more warm water coming up from the equator towards Europe. Europe will slip back into another ice age eventually, and or soon, and it might not even be eventually, it might be like right away, we don't know. And then the weather patterns in North America are going to completely shift as well. So basically, like, anything that's close to or downwind from the Atlantic Ocean is going to get wholly fucked. And like a bunch of people aren't going to be able to eat, which is going to be really sucky because we're going to watch like billions of people die.
Yeah, if we're not busy dying ourselves. Right.
You know.
So that's fun.
Neato!
Should we just do, should we talk to the color department and see if they have some colors of the day?
Yeah, let's leave people with a color of the day because it's super depressing with the hockey stick. What it looks like is like if you're driving down a road and you know how you have to like driving on a straight road, you kind of like may nudge a little left or right in a lane, but you still kind of like stay in the lane. And like if your path of your car was like a line on a map, you could see like, oh, it wobbles a little bit, but it stays within the lane. And now imagine just taking a hard right turn into a wall. And that's what the graph looks like.
Right.
Like, it's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's going to be disastrous. It's not good.
Okay, what are the colors of the day, folks? Tell us. Let's see.
They have, hold on. They just messaged me. Let me see if I can. Here we go.
Oh, what do they got? Ooh!
Yeah.
Oh, these are great.
So first color, so we always do colors of the day. We don't always do colors of the day, but we always do two colors of the day so that you can have context for your color. Having a single color of the day or the year just makes no sense. You might as well just say
it's gray. Also very lazy.
It is also very lazy. Yeah. Yeah. So two colors of the day. Here they are. Since we are ostensibly a design podcast about art and design, here's your art design tip for today. So we've got two colors. We've got asterated canvas back. And we've got optimistic triangulation.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, asterated canvas back, the RGB values, that's the red, green, blue values, are 108, 129, 70. And then the hexadecimal value, which you can chuck into Googler and see the color right now if you've got your phone open, you're going to type in hashtag 6C8146. That's hashtag 6Charlie8146. This color is like a sort of a brighter, not brighter, like a lighter olive.
Yes, it is very olive-y.
Yeah. It's maybe a little more brown than some olives I've seen, but I would, if you had a shirt this color, I would say that's an olive drab. Some kind of military olive drab. The optimistic triangulation, the RGB values for that are 157, 182, 149. And you're going to chuck in the Googler hashtag 9DBravo695. That's, again, hashtag 9DB695. This is like a sort of sea foam.
I would say it's like a minty green. It's a little bit more minty than green. Sea foamy.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, definitely.
They are very complementary of each other. No, complementary colors are opposite in the color wheel. They are very adjacent. One is a lighter hue than the other, and a little bit less shaded if you were talking in strict color terms. So like the optimistic triangulation looks like a pastel version of asterated canvas back.
Yes. Yeah,
like if you bought the asterated canvas back in a bucket of paint and then added some white to it, you'd get the other color, which is optimistic triangulation. I like optimistic triangulation because it's very on theme considering we were talking about the Caribbean and the Atlantic and also Africa. Yeah. And also they're green, which is like the whole thing we've been talking about. Yes. It's so perfect. Such geniuses in the color department.
Yeah.
So timely.
Love those
and
guys.
On the mark.
They're so great.
Yeah. So those are great. These are excellent colors.
Yeah. Good job, team.
This is, you know, we just want to make sure everyone gets satisfied here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very important.
Great job, everybody.
Yeah. Good job.
Thanks for listening to our little gem for the people.
All right. Hopefully there'll be more of these. Yeah. And thanks for listening.
Thanks. Okay, bye. Bye.